Welcome to the Whole Hog Podcast.
My main concern is I just want to do the best damn job I can for the University of Arkansas.
I got a question for you, though, Scotty. Do you know that there's other players on our team besides Desi?
Whoever we had on the plane is all we need. Turn that damn jukebox. Turn it up!
Now, here's your host, Seth Campbell.
Welcome into the Whole Hog Podcast. Seth Campbell joined by Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon. And, well, gentlemen, just like Sam Pittman has said all week here on the Whole Hog Podcast, it is time to put the Auburn game behind us and get ready for the Ole Miss game. It's going to be a hard ordeal to do. And, you know, if you look at certain Wikipedia pages from the previous week, including Bo Nix and I think it was Gus Malzahn, they were changed to reflect the loss to Arkansas. However, in the actual record books, you know, not Wikipedia, it doesn't count.
So yeah, why does Bo Nix have a Wikipedia page?
Bo Nix not only has a Wikipedia page, but it did say under there that he won a close game against Arkansas thanks to his teammates, the ones wearing zebra stripes, and his, quote, cheating coach. So
his cheating coach.
Gus Malzahn. So, you know.
Yeah, Gus had a lot to do with that play.
I mean, you're exactly right, Scotty. Gus had a lot to do with that play. That was sarcasm, in case that was not clearly conveyed. All right, we got a great show today. We're going to talk to Nick Suss from the Clarion Ledger. He's going to give us some insight into Ole Miss. We've got some action here on the roundtable, and then we're going to go over-under action as well later, which it should be entertaining because these are two offenses that want to go fast. So the over-under numbers might be kind of large. Just something to look out for. All right, let's start it off with the roundtable, guys, and this has been an interesting week, to say the least, with some COVID-related things happening. LSU and Florida had their game canceled. Missouri Vanderbilt had their game postponed. Not canceled, sorry, guys. Postponed to later in the season. Nick Saban has COVID. What's your worry level after Lane Kiffin said some alarming things on the SEC teleconference? What's your worry level about this game happening, Scotty?
I'm honestly not too concerned with it. I can't really tell you why, but I'm just not. Like, I think the testing that Ole Miss does prior to Saturday is going to yield results that'll allow them to travel with enough guys to like meet the SEC's guidelines. And I'll be pretty surprised if it's called off. Like, I think Arkansas is doing its part as best it can. That doesn't necessarily mean that Arkansas is going to have its full roster for the weekend. Like, I think injuries are might be the bigger concern for Arkansas at this point. With Ole Miss, I think it's a combination of both. Like, you just played a really physical game against Alabama. Like, Alabama's just going to beat you to death. And then you factor in some quarantining and maybe some players with COVID, and Ole Miss might be a little bit thin, but I think they'll meet the criteria to be able to go this weekend.
I don't know if you can say how much you are worried right now, because Lane Kiffin just didn't give enough details about what the problems are. He said that they're having COVID issues. That was his quote. He didn't go into details on the numbers. You know, a COVID issue to him may be that they've only got 65 scholarship players. It may be that they're down to 55. We don't know. So it wouldn't surprise me if the game got canceled or postponed, I guess would be the first order of business, because you're just seeing it all over the place right now. I mean, seems like at this point, and that's without even the Big Ten or the Pac-12 playing yet, we're seeing like, you know, one to three, maybe four games a week in the Power Five conferences that are being affected by this. You know, I think about the Notre Dame Wake Forest game that got postponed. Seems like NC State's had some games postponed, and of course you've got the two SEC games this week with Florida, LSU, and Vanderbilt, Missouri. So the teams, they take a COVID test on Thursday. That's their final one of the week. They get those results back on Friday before they leave. And I think that the results of that you know, Thursday testing at Ole Miss, that's going to dictate whether or not they're able to come.
I think that is good stuff there. I kind of agree with you, Scotty, for whatever reason, and what Matt was saying too, that Lane Kiffin just wasn't specific enough that I think that that does mean that.
Yeah, he was probably intentionally vague. Like he doesn't want to tip his hand.
Coaches,
you know,
are
they might be
things?
A little bit paranoid. You know.
Well, I mean, you know, what could be a COVID issue? Maybe.
Yeah, it could be anything.
It could be anything because it's not just the 53 number that you have to pay attention to, but there's also those thresholds at certain positions. For instance, you've got to have one scholarship quarterback. You've got to have one scholarship center. You've got to have 7 scholarship offensive linemen. You've got to have 4 scholarship defensive linemen. And if you fall below that threshold at any of those 4 positions, then the game can be justifiably postponed or called off based on the SEC's rules that they put in place before the season began. So he was so vague and just so incomplete with the details that he gave about it that, you know, it's hard for me to say, yeah, this game's going to get played or no, it's not. We just know that there's something happening within the Ole Miss roster that has him a little bit concerned right now.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, Sam Pittman isn't facing those same exact issues. He's just not the one that's voicing it like that. I think that for really any coach in the SEC that there's going to be COVID issues. I mean, we've seen it with Arkansas. There's just guys that aren't in dress code or didn't travel on a bus, and there really wasn't an injury that we saw in a game or anything that has really kept them. It's been speculative, but it could be COVID.
Well, then what happens with this is that, especially with these benchmark numbers they have at the certain positions, your quarterbacks are together all the time, okay? They're in their meeting rooms together. And I know they're taking precautions in the meeting rooms to try to be spread out as much as they can, but they're in their meeting rooms together. They're probably eating together. They're obviously at practice together, standing in, you know, fairly close confines. Not necessarily with the quarterbacks, but a lot of times you see position mates are also roommates. And so they're living together. And so if this hits, it can hit one position group and it can knock you out as a football team. And so again, we don't know what the issue is, but it's just such an unusual deal. And there's really no rhyme or reason, I think, to how it affects teams.
All right, guys, moving on now to looking at the Arkansas football team. They have struggled early in games getting things going. And I think that may be an understatement. Sam Pittman has
on
said
offense.
On offense, correct, correct. Sam Pittman has said that they want to get the offense going faster, sooner, and has thrown out a few things, including differing their warm-ups. Matt, how do you think the Arkansas offense gets started faster?
Well, playing Ole Miss will probably help. That defense is probably the worst that we've had in the SEC in quite some time, if the first a few weeks or any indication. I mean, they've had 35 possessions. The Ole Miss defense has been on the field for 35 possessions. And in those 35 possessions, they've given up 21 touchdowns, 3 field goals, and had a field goal miss. So basically, teams have been in a position to score on Ole Miss on 5 out of every 7 drives. That's horrible. I mean, it's unlike anything I've seen from a defense. Even Arkansas's worst defenses were not that bad. They're giving up 52 points per game, Ole Miss is, and it really is canceling out, you know, what their offense has been able to do, which has been, you know, pretty incredible in its own right through these first few games. So I think playing Ole Miss, that is a really nice that's a really nice start for the Razorbacks. I think that they found some things about their offense down at Auburn last week. Seemed like Kendall Briles got into a rhythm calling plays. I think that Ty Clary played really well at right guard after he came in. If you go back and look, their first touchdown drive was the first drive that Ty Clary came into the game, and then they scored on 5 of their next 6 possessions, with the only time they didn't score being when the clock ran out on them at the end of the first half. And so I watched Ty Clary pretty close on a lot of the snaps last week against Auburn. I thought he played really well. Would not surprise me to see him start. I think that, you know, makes a difference. I think it makes a difference what happened against Auburn, that Noah Gatland had to go out of the game on the first play of the game. What might have been different if they had Noah Gatland in the game and Ty Clary in the game at the start? We don't know. Maybe they get Rakeem Boyd back this week. Maybe they get Traylon Burke. Those are all things that can help this team start quicker. But I think the big thing that gives me confidence that Arkansas is probably going to be able to move the ball pretty early in this game is the fact they're playing Ole Miss and the fact that Kendall Briles seemed like he got into his groove as the play caller for the first time since he's been at Arkansas.
Yeah, a combination of playing Ole Miss's defense, which is like Nick Suss is going to talk about that, like just how on, like the pace, the poor pace at which Ole Miss's defense is performing right now. Like he says, it's like historically bad at this point. But they've played two really good offenses, and they make Kentucky even look really good, rushing for like 400 yards. Right.
That's the problem. Is Kentucky looked so good against them, and Kentucky's not a good offensive team.
But a combination of playing Ole Miss, that defense, and then, you know, maybe getting some playmakers back. Like Rakeem Boyd, I think, is probably going to be able to go this week. If Treylon Burks is able to go too, I mean, you got to be feeling pretty confident, I think. And if you're Kendall Briles, I think you just want to – I think you want to put the pedal down, like, as fast as you can. Getting better starts to drives, like, on first and second down, too, is so critical, because we've seen – like, just in my analysis of Felipe Franks this past week, like, I think he threw for a first down on third down three or four times, and then he ran for a first down on third down once. But each of those plays, it was like third and seven, third and eight, third and seven, third and eight. Like, Arkansas's got to avoid – they've got to pick up some quality yardage. Like Sam Pittman said earlier in the week, like, establish the run. It doesn't have to be – 12, 15-yard runs. It doesn't even have to be 6 to 8 yard runs. Just like get 4 or 5 yards on first down with the run, maybe on second down with the run too. Just give yourself a little bit of – just like cut yourself some slack on third down by being a little bit more successful, you know, on the early downs.
It seems to me like their best run plays have come after they get a first down and they hurry back up to the line of scrimmage. We saw it with Treylon Smith in the third quarter, that drive where he had 5 straight first downs. He got a good run on second down that got them a first down. Then they got back up to the line of scrimmage really quick, ran, I think, a draw play to him, and he ran for 14, 15 yards. It seems like when they're able to take the defense off balance or catch them off balance a little bit, if you will, that's when they're running the ball best. But it's like when they're coming out, say, off of a punt or off of a kickoff return or something, and they line up on first down and they run it, they're not getting good yardage. And so that'd be something to watch against Ole Miss, whether or not that changes.
Guys, looking forward to this game against Ole Miss. We've harped on it and harped on it already about Ole Miss's defense. It reminds me of a quote from Arkansas's basketball coach, women's basketball coach, Mike Neighbors. We got him this week, and he said that defense is science, offense is art. There's not a lot of science going on at the University of Mississippi right now. How do you want to see Arkansas attack the Mississippi defense, Scotty?
That's a good question. I don't know how you attack it. I think like it's every week you've got to be able to tackle in space, and you've got to recognize playmakers. According to SEC StatCat, which is a site that I love, it's a site dedicated solely to like the analytics of SEC football. Matt Corral has targeted Elijah Moore and Kenny Yeboah 51 times, and he's completed 46 of those passes. That's a 90% clip. That is outrageous. So Arkansas has got to be very aware of where those two guys are. Elijah Moore is really, really a dynamic guy. Like I think he was probably the difference in the game when Arkansas was at Ole Miss last year. Like, I think he had a really big game. And then Kenny Yeboah just got added to the Biletnikoff Award watch list. So he's off to a really good start. I think he's got like 4 touchdowns this year already. And so you got to identify playmakers and limit those explosive plays. I think that was something that Arkansas maybe struggled a lot. Not maybe, they struggled with that a lot more against Auburn than against Mississippi State and Georgia. Limiting explosive plays from an explosive offense is going to be really tough. I'm going to be super interested to see what the game plan is from Barry Odom. I think you'll probably see what the plan is pretty early, but how Arkansas executes it, you know, don't particularly know just how healthy Arkansas is on defense. So he could have a great plan, but it's up to the players to execute it. If you don't have everybody there, right, like the guys that you really need and really count on, it's going to be tough.
I think it's pick your poison, how you want to attack Ole Miss defensively. Right now, they are giving up 13.9 yards per completion, and they're giving up 7.3 yards per rushing attempt. I mean,
literally,
if you're me, or you know, if I'm a coach, I look at that and I say, "Hey, you know, I'm gonna go in and just try to run my offense." And Pittman said on a number of times or a number of occasions that what he wants is for his offense to be set up by the run and be able to set up some play action passes. And so, you know, I think you go into this game with that, you know, that that offensive identity that you're trying to establish and see if it works against Ole Miss, because they haven't shown they can stop teams either way.
Yeah, I think that that's exactly right. You can game plan to run whatever you want to run. Get comfortable. You know, if Arkansas has struggled in their first game, especially against Georgia, trying to get the ground game going, and they've steadily progressed with Traylon Smith having a really decent game against Auburn. He was about 50-50 in his yards coming from the ground and coming from the air. But they showed progress and have showed progress all throughout those three games. Moving forward, it's almost you can just, like you, Matt said, pick your poison and try and get an offense going to where you can get a rhythm, and also have Felipe Franks, who's playing his best football of the season right now, give him the ball and let him make decisions.
Team's been able to play really balanced against Ole Miss this year. They're averaging, I think, 338 passing yards a game and 303 rushing yards per game. You talk about defenses, and you know, a lot of times if you're a defense that's struggling, you're struggling in one area. You know, like for a lot of years there, Arkansas just couldn't stop the run, and so teams would just run it at them just mercilessly throughout the season. But they wouldn't necessarily give up just a whole lot of passing yards. Like the Auburn game in 2016 is one I remember where Auburn ran for 543 yards. Against Ole Miss, you can do it all. You can do it all based on the way they've played these first couple of weeks. You can run it. You can throw it. And if I'm a play caller, I'm just licking my chops looking at that defense.
I really like what you said earlier, too, about Kendall Briles feeling like he got into a rhythm. I felt like he wasn't trying to force things with an end-around trick play or with a double.
We did see that, though.
A double pass. I mean, yes, a double pass. But like when he makes the call to give the shovel pass inside of Traylon Smith, like that's the creativity that you want, that you felt like was needed, but not just over the top when the offense is not in rhythm and they haven't made a first down, and then all of a sudden you're forcing something. I felt like that is what Arkansas can expect moving forward through the season.
Well, in fairness, the shuffle pass came after a failed end around to TJ Hammonds that was – they were bailed out because of a face mask penalty.
I think they're going to take that out of out of the playbook.
Well, maybe. We've seen them.
We'll see. They feel like they try it every week.
Right now, Hammonds has touched the ball three times this year for losses of 14, 5, and 8 yards. And the 8-yard one was nullified because of the face mask penalty.
But sure, give him more touches.
But there's two concepts on offense that I think Arkansas really needs to holster. One is this design play for TJ Hammonds, because I think the defenses are picking up on it, because Hammonds has not been able to be that all around receiver that they need him to be. He's not just a great pass catcher, I don't think. And I don't think he's really shown the ability to be a great blocker on the edge. And so when he comes into the game, a lot of times it's either as a decoy or they're going to give the ball to him. And I think defenses have been able to key on that, especially in these first three games this year. And then the other one I think they've got a holster is the quarterback run where they take Franks out of the game. And, you know, it was KJ Jefferson against Mississippi State. Then it was Malik Hornsby against Auburn.
Burn it.
I mean, it's just I can understand doing that on one play, but if it doesn't work, okay, now bring your main guy back in and see what you can do on third down or on fourth down if you're going to run a play on fourth down like they did against Mississippi State. It seems to me, though, it's been Hornsby outside, Hornsby outside. It was the same play almost, it seemed like, on second and third down. Or with Jefferson against Mississippi State, it was Jefferson up the middle, Jefferson – and – it's like the teams were able to key on it, and they knew it was going to come on the next play, and they were able to key on that too. And so it really doesn't make a lot of sense to me to pull your quarterback who's gotten you 65 yards or 70 yards or whatever the case may be, you know, down to that point where you're inside the five, the most critical point on the field, and then you take your main quarterback out, who in both games against Mississippi State and Auburn, Franks played really, really well in both of those games. And I thought those were really critical points in those games. It didn't hurt him against Mississippi State ultimately. It might have hurt him some against Auburn, because I bet they would have loved to have those points if they could have punched it in.
Guys, Lane Kiffin, as we move on here on the Whole Lot Podcast, he showed off his play calling prowess against Alabama. No doubt about it. Ole Miss went for over 600 yards. From what you saw from Kiffin, is Alabama the best? Not Alabama. Wow. Is Kiffin the best play caller in the SEC, Scotty?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I feel like his scheme going into that Alabama game was perfect. I mean, I remember I filed my story from the Auburn game and then turned the Alabama Ole Miss game on, and I was stunned to see that it was 35-35. Like, you feel like Ole Miss typically, for whatever reason, seems to have some success against Alabama. I don't know why, don't know how, but I think Lane Kiffin just did like a masterful job scheming and making Alabama cover every bit of the field. And then you've got two running back like Snoop Connor and Jerrion Ealy are really slippery guys combined with some power. And then Elijah Moore and Kenny Yeboah are solid in the passing game. And then Matt Corral can not only sling it with the best of them, like literally sling it anywhere. Like he can make some plays with his feet too. He's slippery, as slippery as his running backs are. He kept Alabama so on its heels defensively that I think people are not that nobody was really taking Ole Miss's offense seriously, but they're like, man, we've got to be really, really aware of what they're throwing at us. And we've got to be so fundamentally sound, and that still may not be enough. But I've been really impressed with just how quickly that offense has become as explosive as it is.
I'd say that right now he's probably the best play caller, and I'm talking about this season. I think that a lot of times you have success in your first season because you're doing things that teams have never schemed for before. And I think after they've gotten that first, you know, look at you in person, maybe they're able to adapt when they see you the next year. Yeah, teams have seen Lane Kiffin before, but they've never seen him with this Ole Miss team. It's no different than we've seen Mike Leach before, but LSU, who's very poor defensively this year, had never seen him with that Mississippi State team, and I think that played a big factor in what happened in game one. And then Arkansas showed a way to stop it. Kentucky replicated it. And now you wonder whether or not that's going to have a lot of success this year at Mississippi State. The difference between Leach and Kiffin is that Kiffin will call run plays and will run a balanced offense. And, of course, they've got a mobile quarterback in Matt Corral, and that helps too. I'd say Kiffin's probably the best play caller. I would say, though, that whether it's Dan Mullen or Brian Johnson at Florida, what they're doing is really good too, and it's really effective. And it's up for debate maybe who has the best offense between Florida and Ole Miss this year, but I've been really impressed with what I've seen from Florida in their games.
Good stuff here, guys. All right, well, that'll wrap it up for our portion here on the round table, but stick with us because coming up after the break is going to be Nick Suss from the Clarion Ledger, and he's going to give us some good information on Ole Miss.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
A note about the upcoming interview with Nick Suss.
The interview quality is less than the standard here for WholeHogSports.com and the Whole Hog Podcast. We apologize for that. We had some audio malfunction happening with our equipment. We promise to fix it and it'll get better in the future. Until then, please enjoy a best that we could fixed version of Nick Suss and the interview that we conducted with him. Thank you. Welcome back into the Whole Hog Podcast. Seth Campbell joined alongside Scotty Borderline. We got a special guest, Nick Suss from the Clarion Ledger. Nick covers Ole Miss football. And Nick, that was a heck of a game against Alabama. Back and forth they went. What did Ole Miss learn about their team from that Alabama game?
Has it ended yet? Did anyone make a stop? I can't remember. it was a heck of a football game. I mean, the thing that everybody expected coming into this season was that Ole Miss's defense was going to be an adventure. And so far, nobody has been proven wrong. This was a team that had the worst secondary in the SEC last year by yardage allowed, and they returned most of the starters, and they didn't have a spring practice. And then you go ahead and lose your entire defensive line to make your pass rush a lot less consistent. And then they come out and two of their first three games are against Kyle Trask and Mac Jones and all of those talented receivers on Alabama and Florida. That hasn't been a surprise. I think everybody's used to watching Ole Miss football get beat up through the air after the last 4 years since really the good years ended under Hugh Freeze. But I think the thing that surprised people and that they just keep getting confirmed, and last week against Alabama was seemingly proof of, Kiffin's offense was installed faster than virtually anyone could have expected. Kiffin and Jeff Levy have put together one of the most dynamic offenses in the country. They're moving at an absurd tempo. They're averaging, I think, 7.55 yards per play while running 77 plays per game. And I looked it up, and in the last decade, the only teams that have ever achieved that were two Baylor teams, two Oklahoma State teams, a Houston team, and Johnny Manziel in his Heisman season. That's the type of yardage and pace this offense is going on. And you watch that Alabama game, and they're going toe for toe with Nick Saban's offense. They're going tit for tat with those receivers, Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith. Every move that Mac Jones made, Matt Corral had a counter. And this offense is working. I don't know if there's something on tape that maybe Barry Odom and Sam Pittman can find that Nick Saban and Mark Stoops and some of these really strongly defensive-minded coaches didn't find. But, man, what they learned is just effectively this offense is working whatever is being thrown at it.
Hey, Nick, I'd like to know a little bit more about Elijah Moore and Kenny Yeboah. Those two guys seem to be Matt Corral's top targets. I think he's 46 of 51 when targeting those guys. That's pretty absurd.
Yeah. Now, I mean, Elijah Moore, I think anyone who's been familiar with the SEC the last 2 years probably had him on their radar a little bit, especially with the way last season ended with his illegal celebration at the end of the Egg Bowl. But right. I think that if you think about what Kiffin has done throughout his entire career, he's not Mike Leach. He didn't come to Ole Miss with a system and saying, I'm going to install this here. He came to Ole Miss saying, well, in the past, I've coached Reggie Bush. I've coached Amari Cooper. I've coached Marquise Lee. I've coached Derrick Henry. I've coached Jalen Hurts. I've coached Devin Singletary. I've coached Harrison Bryant. I know how to get the best out of skill players, regardless of scheme, regardless of position. And what you're seeing with Elijah Moore is Kiffin identified Elijah as the best playmaker on this offense, and they're going to get the ball to him a ton. I mean, right now, Elijah's on pace to break A.J. Brown's single-season receiving record at Ole Miss in a 10-game season. Like, he doesn't even need the 11th and 12th games that would have come against Southeastern Missouri and UConn right now. He's on that heavy of a pace. And that's just because Kiffin found a guy who really runs routes well over the middle, who's a great third down target, who knows how to operate in space, who has incredibly quick feet, and can find these gaps in zone coverages, but also take advantage of his slippery size and get underneath man coverage. Then you look at Kenny Yeboah, and I've been fascinated by him because he's a tight end on the depth chart, and he is a tight end in practice, but I think he's caught four touchdowns this year. Only one has been from a traditional tight end position. He's caught one as a fullback in an offset eye from under center, which Ole Miss almost never does, whether have a fullback on the field or be under center, but they ran a play action boot with him slipping up into the flats. He scored one as an H-back where they did a fake insert block where he pretended to be a lead blocker on a play action pistol draw and then snuck over. And then against Alabama, he caught a touchdown on a leaky pop pass that Matt Corral faked a quarterback draw and did the Tim Tebow jump throw. They use Yeboah in so many functional different ways that he's the player that defenses kind of have to say, okay, where is this guy on the field? Where's 84? What are we looking for? How do we stop him? And when defenses are so busy in this Ole Miss tempo trying to find and locate Yeboah, that's how you get single coverage and mismatches on guys like Elijah Moore or like the running back Jerrion Ealy, who is also somebody they line up in the slot and like to motion. And when you're moving as fast as Ole Miss is, again, that 77 play tempo is absurd, and you're lining up players in positions that teams aren't used to seeing them in, that's how you create these mismatches and find ways to get Elijah Moore open 12 times a game, even though everybody in the stands knows, hey, cover number 8, he's their favorite target. They still find ways to get it to him.
Talking to Nick Suss from the Clarion Ledger here on the Whole Hog Podcast. Nick, when you look at kind of the things that Lane Kiffin said on the SEC teleconference this year, there's some alarming things that he said. What's the worry level in Oxford about this game happening?
I don't know if it's being worried too much. Again, if you look back at what he said on Wednesday, it pretty much came down to there have been some cases, but if the game had to be played that day, it could have been played. There's a dashboard tracker that Ole Miss, the university, keeps track of every single new positive reported case of COVID-19 on campus. And if you date back to Sunday, the day after the Alabama game, presumably the last time they were tested before this wave, there have only been 7 reported cases among the entire population of Ole Miss. That's not exclusively athletics. That is anyone who attends, teaches, or works at the university. So, unless Ole Miss has been absolutely stranded by contact tracing and they have a bunch of guys in quarantine because they came in contact with somebody who has it and they are awaiting tests, it can't be a big enough outbreak to do what's happened for the Florida LSU game or the Vanderbilt Missouri game, where you were talking about 20, 25, 30 guys on the team having it at once. Again, that's predicated on 2 things. One being the tracker being reliable, and at that point you're counting on government institutions to actually track their own COVID numbers, which I know there are a lot of people who are skeptical of that, and I'm not going to say you shouldn't be, but you're also relying on the idea of contact tracing and not knowing who contaminated who. And then you factor in, when did Nick Saban get it? That's who they played last week. And if Alabama's having this issue, did Ole Miss give it to Alabama? Did Alabama give it to Ole Miss? Are these cases completely unrelated? That's the one thing that the SEC has been lucky on, is that so far there's no indication that one team has given it to another team. And that's also true in the NFL, which is something really interesting to monitor, that you have teams like the Patriots and Titans who have had cases, but those cases didn't really spill into other locker rooms. And if that's the case for the SEC too, I think we're going to continue to see games be possible. I don't think until a team like Vanderbilt or a team like Missouri or a team like Florida starts passing it from locker room to locker room that the SEC is going to have to change its operating procedure.
A little bit of a broad question here, but I definitely wanted to ask you this. Just what has covering Lane Kiffin been like for you?
Yeah, it's fun because I think that people have this perception of Lane Kiffin, the internet troll, and Lane Kiffin, the guy who's trying to get a jab in, and the snarky prankster and all that stuff. If you cover him on a day-to-day basis, he's just kind of an introvert who doesn't necessarily want to deal with people and just kind of wants to draw plays on a chalkboard. He's not the most outgoing, over-the-top personality. He's not Mike Leach. I mean, he's not Sam Pittman even. I think that the personality he gives off is because he does have that snark, and when he was younger, he used it. Now I think he's kind of been Sabanized to an effect where he still has this personality, and when you need him to turn it on, he can turn on the jabs and the jokes. But for the most part, in his Monday and Wednesday media sessions, he's pretty dry. He's pretty down to earth. He's not somebody who's gallivanting around town even before COVID happened. He is he's a football coach first right now. And comedian is probably 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th on his list of responsibilities.
Talking to Nick Suss from the Clarion Ledger. Nick, I just want to wrap it up with a question. We talked a lot about the Ole Miss offense, which rightfully so. But on the defensive side, how do you think that they're going to use their guys to stop Arkansas's offense?
Well, stop is a strong word, because something you guys probably need to know is Ole Miss is currently on pace to have the single worst defense in the history of the FBS. By both yardage, they are about 25 yards worse than the worst offense or worst defense in the history of the FBS. And by points, I think they have the second or third worst pace in the history of college football. And some of that definitely has to do with playing Florida and Alabama two of your first three games. Those are going to skew the data. But they even let Kentucky rush for more than 400 yards against them. And Kentucky's offense against Auburn and Mississippi State didn't look like this hyper-efficient, super-speed offense that Ole Miss made it look like. So I don't know if it's going to come down to Arkansas's running game or Arkansas's passing game or maybe some sort of fusion of the both. But if this Ole Miss defense is going to take any strides forward, it's going to need to figure out how to create turnovers. It's going to need to figure out how to generate a pass rush with more than just one player. If I'm not mistaken, Sam Williams might be the only Ole Miss player with a sack so far this season. Maybe Ryder Anderson has one. I can't remember. And they're going to need to tackle in space better. I know that feels like a fundamental that most teams should have conquered by now, but Ole Miss has missed a lot of tackles in the second and third levels of defenses and allowed a lot of spill plays and big plays to come out of that. They have talent on this defense. Again, they're returning a lot of starters from last year, but that's the double-edged sword when you return a lot of starters from a bad defense. Does the defense get better with experience, or are the players still overmatched? So I look at this defense, and in order to stop Arkansas, you're going to have to get off the field on third downs, because Arkansas likes to control tempo. They like to control the pace of the game. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like in order to do this, they're going to have to force some punts, they're going to have to force some turnovers, and they're going to have to create extra possessions for that offense, because the offense moves light and quick. And if you get stuck in a back-and-forth game again with Arkansas, it's just going to come down to another tournament of which team makes a mistake first. And while it's still a little more likely that Arkansas makes a mistake before Alabama did, it's still not the sort of game plan you want to have to live and die by.
Good stuff there from Nick Suss of the Clarion Ledger. Nick, thanks so much for joining us here on the Whole Hog Podcast. Everything to Sunday points to either a really, really awful football game because neither offenses can get going, or just a sprint to the finish with both these offenses and how fast they want to go.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it, and thank y'all for having me.
Yeah, no problem, Nick. And Nick Suss from the Clarion Ledger, you can check him out on the Clarion Ledger website.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
A great interview there with Nick Suss from the Clarion Ledger. Nick, some good information there. And I liked your question there, Scotty, about what it's like to cover Lane Kiffin, because he's not as big a character as Mike Leach in the Arkansas we played them earlier. But
I just wanted to ask that question because I think the first week that the SEC coaches teleconference was held, he was talking in the bathroom and you can hear a toilet flush. And then it was clear as day to, I think, me and Matt. I sent Matt the audio to write a story yesterday off what Kiffin said, and it sounded like he's like eating while he's answering these questions. So it's like, I get that coaches probably don't really like the teleconference in the middle of the week, but he's just, I don't know. It was, it's funny to me in a way because I'm not covering him, but you know, if I was, it might be a little irritating, but you can tell he doesn't maybe take it as seriously as some people would want.
Yeah, he was sucking on a hard candy during the like a Werther's Original or something, peppermint, maybe had it in his mouth. There was no doubt about that.
But I also liked how open he was just about his assessment of the end of the Arkansas-Auburn game.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, Auburn should be counting their blessings. And then he called, I think he called, I was confused because I thought he was talking about Bo Nix. And I thought he called him Knox.
Yeah, I think you've talked,
which is his son's name. But like you, like Matt pointed out, Joe Fouché, who wears 7, Trey Knox wears 7, a player wearing 7 in Lane Kiffin's eyes jumped on the ball. So it was a little bit confusing, but I liked how candid he was for sure.
All right, guys, let's start our last segment of the Whole Hog Podcast here with a little over under. And these numbers are going to get large. So just bear with us here. Starting with the first one, we're going to go straight to the main source of, well, what everybody stares at, the points. Vegas has set the over-under at 76 points for this Arkansas-Ole Miss game. Are you going over or under, Scotty?
Well, just based on my prediction for HL, I'm going to go slightly under. I've got Arkansas 38-34. Am I the first person to predict an Arkansas win in a while? Or is that Matt did that last week, right?
Matt did that last week on the pregame show.
I'm going.
And I was right.
Well, for the most part.
I mean, that's just tough. Asterisk.
I picked Arkansas by 1 point last week. I said they would win 21-20. And
I mean,
should have won by 1 point.
Depends on how you look at it. They may have won 28-27.
Yeah, I'm going to go slightly under, but I would not be surprised if they're like just crazy amounts of points put up.
Yeah, I said over. I picked Arkansas 48-40. And so I think it's going to be a score fest on Saturday. Ole Miss hasn't shown they haven't shown they can play a lick of defense. And I think it's going to be hard for Arkansas's offense to stop them. I think it's going to be a lot of points.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going over too. I don't remember what my prediction is in Hogs Illustrated, but I think my predictions, when I make them at the beginning of the week and then as they progress, I think they get more larger and larger.
So what did you say the over-under was?
The 76.
So you've got 42-35. So
that is you would go over.
Slightly over.
Yes.
By a point.
Let's go. All right, guys. Moving on. Total offense. 900 yards of total offense between the two teams. Remind you, Ole Miss had 600 yards of total offense against Alabama. Over, under, Matt?
Slightly over.
Yeah, slightly over too. I think Arkansas's defense, this is the week that we might see some things break a little bit. It's like I said, I don't know if you're going to get a lot, or if anything, from Bumper this week. And I think Arkansas's just kind of beat up on defense. Like, this is not the week to be throwing out – let me rephrase this. Like, it's not the best week to have a walk-on at one corner and then a true freshman at the other corner and then possibly one of your team leaders at the second level of the defense missing.
All right, next one. Over, under on the turnover battle. Total between two teams, 3 turnovers.
I'd probably say under. Neither of these teams have really turned it over a whole lot this year. I think Ole Miss has maybe only turned it over 3 times, and 1 or 2 of those was on downs. Arkansas has done a pretty good job of holding on to the ball. They didn't turn it over against Auburn at all. I think they did have some problems with it against Georgia, obviously.
Yeah,
and
I'm trying to think about
Mississippi State. But
I can't remember. Yeah, like, I know Franks hasn't thrown a pick in 2 weeks.
For the most part, they haven't really struggled a whole lot with turnovers this year, and Ole Miss certainly hasn't. That's what's interesting about Ole Miss is that they've had all this offensive success, and I guess part of that is because they haven't had turnovers that have hindered them, you know. But it just seems like teams that are that offensively focused, seems like maybe they struggle a little bit. That maybe they would have more turnovers, just because. It's just the nature of having an offense like that, but that hasn't been the case with Ole Miss this year.
All right. This is a good one here, guys. You ready? Special teams penalties. Over, under. I'm being generous here. Over, under one special team
over.
Penalty for Arkansas.
Over.
Just Arkansas.
Over. They'll get that many illegal formation penalties, probably.
I bet they get that cleaned up this week.
You think they've tried?
Yeah. I mean, they should have had it cleaned up after the Georgia game, but it's a problem at Mississippi State.
But were the alignments a problem against Georgia?
I think there was poor
special teams play.
I mean, there was poor coverage, absolutely, and then poor protection on the punt block. I believe there was an illegal formation penalty in there too.
See, I think they're going
to that's shown up every week.
I think they're going to struggle on special teams, and I'm just talking about in giving up big plays against the blue blood type teams, the Georgias, the Auburns. We've seen it. I think they'll struggle against a team like Alabama. And it's just because those teams recruit so well that they have depth that spills over to special teams. And I think that's where you really see who recruits well or maybe recruit well isn't even the right word, but it's who has good depth and who doesn't necessarily have good depth. You see it happen on special teams. Saw it against Georgia. Georgia was so fast and they were so strong that Arkansas had a lot of trouble getting off those blocks against Georgia. And I thought you saw that against Auburn, maybe in maybe a little bit different way last week. The alignment issues were obviously a problem, and the punting is a problem right now. But I have a hard time believing that they got three or four alignment penalties last week, that they aren't going to have focused on that in such a manner this week in practice that you're not going to see it happen in the Ole Miss game. So I guess I'll go under.
I'll push. I think that there will be one special teams penalty. I'll go in between you. I'm taking the cheater's way out, the easy way out with that, because it has been a problem. It's been a problem that needed to get fixed after the Georgia game. But Matt does bring up a good point about maybe Arkansas not having as many talented players on special teams. All right, guys, another special teams question. Arkansas, and this could be due to the fact that Treylon Burks hasn't been back there returning punts or anything, but they haven't returned a punt. At least I know for sure all last game against Auburn.
I think Barodi had one for like minus 1 yard.
Did he not take a fair catch on one of them?
I think I remember him getting slung to the ground. It may have been Mississippi State, but I remember vaguely. So I feel like Arkansas has got like negative punt return yards.
Which is fantastic. Anyway, my over-under is there going to be one punt return this week?
Is there going to be one punt this week? That's a better question. I don't know. I will say this. I'm not even going to answer the question, but I'll answer it with just an observation.
You'd make a good Division I football coach.
I'd make a good politician. But just an observation is that I think Pittman kind of has that Frank Broyles philosophy. Broyles used to have these four commandments of special teams, and one of them was thou shalt not let the punt touch the ground or let the ball touch the ground. He always wanted his players to catch the punt, and I think that's you've seen that from Arkansas this year, is that's the number one priority. Catch the ball if you can. Georgia's punter did such a great job of some of those corner kicks to where they couldn't get to it, and that was just such a great punting exhibition that he put on in that first game. But I think, you know, otherwise they've done a pretty good job of just catching the ball and at least just taking the yardage that you've got right there, as opposed to letting it hit at the 17 and maybe you get it at the 8. So maybe that's the focus of the special teams group right now, especially without Treylon Burks, is to, you know, don't lose more
just
yardage than
possession.
You have to. Just secure the possession, secure that field position, and let the offense go from there.
Scotty?
I think we'll see an Ole Miss punt return. I mean, I think I don't know. Like, I don't have just a whole lot of trust in Arkansas special teams just in general right now. You've seen, like, some issues almost, like, in every aspect. Like, it's understood. Like, the hold was an issue on one PAT. I get it. It's sloppy, but that still reared its head. Protection, punt return, you're not getting really anything there. You know, maybe like Ole Miss's special teams are like probably prone to some mistakes too, right? So why couldn't Arkansas capitalize on it? I'll backtrack and I'll say we'll probably see some decent punt returns.
All right, two more
If there are punts.
I still contend there may not be a whole lot of punts.
That's a very valid point. Two more here on the Whole Hog Podcast before we wrap it up. We're going to start with the running backs. Does a running back get over 100 yards for the first time this season? Matt.
You talking about for Arkansas?
Yes. Sorry. I should have clarified. For Arkansas, which means basically Treylon Smith or if Rakeem Boyd is healthy.
I think I'm going to go with the same answer I gave last week against Auburn. I think no, unless you just have one of those really crazy plays where everything breaks down and you have somebody go, you know, they house it from 65, 70 yards. You have one of those plays, then obviously it's a lot easier to get to 100 yards. Mm-hmm. But I just think, you know, with the lack of that type of play, I don't think so. And the other thing I'm interested in seeing is, does Treylon Smith get more carries this week because of how he played against Auburn? And so, you know, I mean, let's say ideally Rakeem Boyd gets 15 carries, maybe Treylon Smith gets 12, and then all of a sudden, you know, if you're getting 15 carries, you got to average a lot of yards per carry to get to 100 yards. And so I say no without one of those real big chunk plays.
I'll say that a combination of Rakeem Boyd and Treylon Smith go for 100+, and I think it's fairly easy. Like,
because Ole Miss can't stop the
Kentucky
run.
Ran for 400 yards.
But now part of what Kentucky did was that Terry Wilson had about 200 rushing yards in that game. Arkansas doesn't have that type of quarterback. And I think that makes a big difference.
That still leaves a lot of yards for your running backs to go pick up, I think. And I think Arkansas ran with decent success, like in terms of like those misdirection type plays against Auburn. That gave me a little bit of confidence that, you know, against a lesser defense, that, you know, if execution remains the same and Treylon Smith's not going to get less shifty than he was last week, I don't think. And then Rakeem Boyd, if he's healthy, I think he can give you some pop in the run game too. I think they've got a chance to have a big day.
All right, and then Felipe Franks, to wrap it up, he threw for over 300 yards first time in his Arkansas career at Auburn. Scotty, you first.
Over.
All right, Matt.
I don't even need the number. Over. Ole Miss can't stop anybody.
Okay, there you go.
But what's the number?
What was it?
600 yards.
600?
Okay, I'm going under.
I'll say 350.
I think 350 is a fair amount.
Yeah. I think he'll ballpark that for sure. He's like the last 2 weeks, Mississippi State and Auburn, he's had really good success throwing the ball vertically, like 16 plus yard passes. I'm looking at right now. He was 2 of 3 against Mississippi State, 4 of 6 against Auburn. The drop or the incompletion at Mississippi State at that depth was a drop. And you take that out, I'm not good at math, but I think he's six out of eight. Like if you don't count the drop, so he's
pretty good.
He's having pretty good success there.
And that's without his best vertical playmaker.
Yeah, exactly. And so you possibly get him back. That's a big plus. And the thing I like about Felipe is charting all of his passes. I've got him like he's averaging 5 inaccurate balls per week, but he's not putting the ball in jeopardy. He's thrown 0 interceptable passes since the Georgia game. And so he's not only on the money, but he's keeping the ball out of harm's way and pushing the offense down the field. I think he's, like I said, with Rakeem Boyd and Treylon Smith, they could have a big day. I think everybody could have a big day, including Felipe. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he goes for 350.
If you like offense, tune into the Arkansas Ole Miss game.
And that's how this usually goes, though. I mean, you think that it's going to be like an offensive slugfest and then
14-10
turnovers
14-10
or something.
At
yeah,
halftime.
I mean, it's... It seems like these games never go like you think they're going to go.
Yeah, I think that you're right. We'll have to see. Game coming out on Saturday. They have moved it to the SEC Network in case you are trying to find the Arkansas Ole Miss game. Not on ESPN2 anymore. It has been moved to the SEC Network. Well, Scotty, Matt, thanks so much for joining us here on the Whole Hog Podcast. Good information as always. And if you like this podcast, make sure to like and subscribe to it wherever you are listening to us right now. It'll be available every week to give you our pregame show and then also the Whole Hog Podcast here. And then also Scotty and I do some reactions on Sunday to the game that just happened as well. The reactions to the Auburn game I thought were quite good, Scotty. A lot of raw emotions there.
There's plenty to get into, no doubt about it.
Well, also, you can also check all of these writings. These guys, Matt Jones, Scotty Bordelon, the entire WholeHogSports.com crew, and check out their writings on WholeHogSports.com. We greatly appreciate you listening to this. And for Matt Jones, Scotty Bordelon, I am Seth Campbell saying so long, and we'll see you back here next week.